Please turn with me to Job chapter 13. We'll read the chapter. Behold, my eye has seen all of this. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you, but I would speak to the Almighty and desire to reason with God. For you forgers of lies, you are all worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be silent and it would be your wisdom. Now hearing my reasoning and heed the pleadings of my lips, will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? Will you show partiality for him? Will you contend for God? Will it be well when he searches you out? Or can you mock him as one mocks a man? He will surely rebuke you if you secretly show partiality. Will not his excellence make you afraid, and the dread of him fall upon you? Your platitudes are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. Hold your peace with me and let me speak. Then let come on me what may. Why do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands? Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. He shall also be my salvation, for a hypocrite could not come before him. Listen carefully to my speech and to my declaration with your ears. See now, I have prepared my case. I know that I shall be vindicated. Who is he who will contend with me? If now I hold my tongue, I perish. Only two things do not do to me. Then I will not hide myself from you. Withdraw your hand far from me, and let not the dread of you make me afraid. Then call, and I will answer, or let me speak, then you respond to me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgression and my sin. Why do you hide your face and regard me as your enemy? Will you frighten a leaf driven to and fro, and will you pursue dry stubble? For you write bitter things against me and make me inherit the iniquities of my youth. You put my feet in the stocks and watch closely all my paths. You set a limit for the soles of my feet. Man decays like a rotten thing, like a garment that is moth eaten. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with us tonight as we look into your word. I pray that you would help us to look to see how we can learn to trust you more. We pray, God, we need your help. And we ask for your spirit tonight to be among us as we look into your holy word. We pray your blessing now. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message tonight is Trusting God. We'll cover briefly or summarily Job chapter 12 and 13. And then we'll look at some applications from the words of Job, also reflected in the words of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 50 and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting God. Do you trust God? In reading about Job, can you say that you trust God? Job, as we've seen in the first 11 chapters, Job has suffered mightily. He has gone through continual strife. He's lost everything. He's ready to lose his life, and he's certainly ready to lose his friends, who have been no help to him at all. And so Job here comes to speak to them regarding answering all of their charges that they've leveled at him. And Job, in chapter 12, counters what they have brought to him and their lack of wisdom and their understanding of the ways of God. Job's mood right now is a little different than it's been in the past. Like all of us, he's had some really heavy mood swings, emotions of outrage and despair. We heard in the hymn in the offertory about how often we are outraged, we don't hear from God, and we despair. And here's Job, who has not heard from God. He has not heard anything from our Lord. And like Paul, Job is driven to despair, even of life, as he has lost everything, and suffering beyond what he himself can even bear. He begins here by some sarcasm, saying that in effect, you are the wise ones, my friends, and when you die, wisdom's gone. Wisdom dies with you. That is their theology of how God works with people and with respect to human suffering and sin, how he executes justice in the world, and their wisdom holds the key to it all, as so they think. And he refutes Zophar's comment that he is a donkey. He tells his three friends that he is intelligent and not inferior in any way to them. He goes on to say that he refutes what they say about how sinners always are ones who suffer, and the ones who are blameless are the ones who are always prospering. And he says the criminals are safe and prosper, and the just and blameless man is a joke to his friends. He counters their claim that the sinner suffers always, and he was told to repent. If only he would repent, Job would prosper. But ask the beasts, he said, ask the beasts and the birds, and they'll tell you. Ask the earth and the fish, and they'll teach you that God cannot be put in a box, and he does as he pleases, and he accomplishes his perfect will, and therefore godly people suffer in this life, and wicked people prosper. In the hand of the Lord are all things, he says, including the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Not a sparrow falls to the ground, we know, apart from the Father's will. Job said in the beginning of the book, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. Blessed be the Lord. The name of the Lord he has given, and he has taken away. In the remaining verses of chapter 12, Job speaks of the power of God and his sovereign works. We see what he says, that God is not whimsical. In verse 13 of chapter 12, he says, with him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. He builds up and he puts down. He raises up and he tears down. Those who lead and those who are led and those who mislead are his. He makes nations great and he destroys them. My friends, Job says, you want a God who you can figure out and be confident that his justice is like A plus B equals C? In chapter 13, he will ask, will you look to the majesty of God and will he not terrify you? You who falsify the truth and attempt to bring God down to your level of understanding. Be careful, you wise men. All the great and puny are in God's hands. A speck of dust in a bucket. All the calamities of the world are the work of God, he says in verse 15. Brethren, we know that all things come from the hand of God. Job's God is much more majestic than his friends. Job's God requires faith and trust in his perfect sovereign will. And Job will prove that as he puts himself in a position of total submission, we'll see how Job is in total submission to his God, yet he's willing to trust God with his determination to hear from him. Job wants to hear from God, knowing that he says that God could very well take his life. Wow. Trusting God with everything. Total abandon to the will of God. Intense desire to know God's ways. What about us? What are we holding back from trusting God? Job begins in chapter 13 and he talks about he's seen and heard what they've seen, but unlike you, I'm not content with a limited God, one who has to do this and that based upon your understanding. I desire to speak with God, hear from him, and to be vindicated and reconciled. I will argue my case, Job says. I will reason with God, he says. In Isaiah chapter 118, God says, come, let us reason together. Is it not to trust God to come and to reason with God and to ask God to speak to us, to teach us how to trust him, how to seek after him? Job still desires to repent of any known sin. In verse 23, he says, how many Lord, of my iniquities, how many are my sins? Make known to me my rebellion and my sin. He desires to know why he's suffering. Lord, show me my iniquities. I want to be pure before you. But his friends have no remedy for his suffering. He calls them worthless physicians and have lied. They've lied about the truth, and God's dealing with Job, and he wishes that they would be silent. He says, your silence would be the best wisdom. Is that not true sometimes? Even with us, sometimes our silence would be the best wisdom. Many times we should be silent and not speak. Job's begins here. We look beginning in verse 6 of chapter 13. And Job says, please, please, now hear me. Hear my reasoning. Job's pastoral heart now comes out. And he begins to say, please, he's pleading. Please hear me, hear my lips. He says, will you speak wickedly of God? Will you talk deceitfully of him? Telling lies on God's behalf? Speaking untruths? Calvin said, God is not served or aided by such lies. They darken the grace of God with their untruth. He says, will you show partiality for God and contend for him? Does he need you to contend for him? He says the showing partiality is a lifting up of the face, a Hebrew idiom for the special favor extended to a person from improper motivation. In other words, it's possibly even for a bribe. With respect to justice, the showing of favor is forbidden. Judges are never to express partiality, and here Job contends that they are being partial even though they don't know the facts about the case. They are even partial with God, saying this is how God thinks about your case when they don't even know the facts. That's why James tells us to not be partial. Partial means you have an inner motivation to be partial, to judge one based upon your own motivations. We are to be judges. We will judge the angels. But we are not to judge with partiality. Therefore, it will not be well with you, he says, when God examines you. Do you think you can get away with this partiality? Job knows the seriousness of God with respect to judging and being partial. And God will respond to them, he says. And here is the main text that I'd like to focus on, starting in verse 11 of Job chapter 13. He says, will not his majesty terrify you? And the dread of him, and his meaning his weight and his heaviness, fall on you? Consider the infinite glory of God, brethren, and the poverty of men. Such consideration, you give glory to God and his name. Such beholding of God's glory prevents any falsifying of the truth. The reason we have in our churches today the falsifying of the truth is because we don't behold the glory of God and the majesty of God and the fear of God. The result of not seeing his majesty is first and foremost pride, lack of fear and reverence for God. We play games with God. His friends are playing games, not knowing. Playing religion is a very dangerous thing. God sees the heart. And Job says, do you think you could deceive God like you can man? Are you playing games with God? Are you like the Pharisee in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector? When the Pharisee comes in and says, I thank God I'm not like all these other people. Miserable sinners, swindlers. I fast, I pray. Self-exaltation. No fear of God. The tax collector feared God. He wouldn't even raise his head and lift his eyes to heaven. And he beat his breast and he said, Lord, be merciful to me. Jesus said, this man went away justified and fully forgiven and cleansed. Like the angels before the throne of God who covered their face, adoring God, bowing down before him, The tax collector understood the majesty and glory of God by the Spirit of Christ. What an example of the tax collector and of Job. In Job, in verse 13, Job says, "Hold your peace and let me speak." He desires to put all the chips on the table. No hypocrisy here for Job. One thing you know about Job, he lets it all out. He's not holding anything back. He's not playing religion. Job is not, he trusts God so intensely that he's willing to come and say, "Lord, I need to reason before you. I need to hear from you. Please let me come. Whatever may happen to me, whatever the risk is, I put my life on the line. Why do I take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in my hands?" The answer, "Though he slay me, I will trust him." Job puts it all on the line. He is sure he will be vindicated. He is aware of the risks, even to his life. But the one thing Job is he is assured of his salvation. He says in verse 15, in the second part, "Even so, I will defend my ways before him. He also shall be my salvation." Job is convinced of his standing before God because he trusts his God. He knows that God has chosen him. He knows that God has forgiven him. And he knows that he's asked and repented before God of any known sin or any unknown sin that he might have committed. Job is a man of humility who loves to come before God and repent. And he says in verse 18, "See now, I have prepared my case. I'm going to speak with God." Well, Job, as we know, will speak with God. Actually, God will speak with Job. And Job will find out where God stands. But he says, "See now, I prepared my case. I know I shall be vindicated. Who is he who will contend with me? If now I hold my tongue, I will perish. If only I can speak with my father. He is far away, and I have so many questions I need to ask him, so that I can be vindicated once and for all and be blameless before my God." Because he's been told that he's a sinner and he's not blameless and that God has this against him. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 50. These are the words of Isaiah and the words of our Lord and Job's words as Job points us to the one who trusts in his father and trusts in the vindication of his father. And we see here in Isaiah chapter 50 in verse 4, he says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." Unlike Job's friends, "He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear his word as the learned, to hear him. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. I have set my face like a flint. I am steady, and I know that I will not be ashamed." Hear the words of our Lord. Hear the words of Isaiah and the words of Job. "I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up." And here is our text for the application. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the words of his servant or the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Here are the words of Isaiah speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ and about even Job's words that Job speaks about his vindication and his blamelessness and trusting God with his entire life. To trust God, brethren, in verse chapter 10, is to fear the Lord. Who among you fears the Lord, he says. Job asks, will not his majesty terrify you? Job's friends were casual about their fear of God, and they're speaking on his behalf. To trust God, we must look to the Lord Jesus Christ and his majesty and his awesomeness and the King of kings and Lord of lords. We must tremble at his word, the glorious gospel of his grace. Like the tax collector, we see that we are sinners and we are before the face of the Lord. We have to bow before his glory and say, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. As I see the glory of God, we must spend much time contemplating his glory and his majesty. This fear of God causes us not to forget all his benefits, all that he has done for us in Christ. It causes us to remember the gospel, the good news of God's amazing grace, and the love for me, a sinner. Job didn't lose the faith and the trust and the hope. He says, I will hope in my God. I trust my God because I know of his majesty and his goodness and his amazing grace and his love for me as a sinner. I stand amazed at his love. And I can say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And as I see God's majesty, I begin to see more and more of who he is. And I begin to trust in his goodness and his grace. The second thing is when we fear him rightly, we trust in his word and we obey his word. Look at verse 10. Who fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Like Job, we trust our Lord so much and we want to hear his voice and we want to say, yes, Lord. Job so desperately wants to hear his voice. He knows his Redeemer lives and he wants to hear from his God. Unlike Job, we have the word of God where God speaks to us here. Job has not been spoken to at all. Job trusts the Lord even with his life, even his death. Should God slay him, it is because of his obedience to his king that he knows his voice and he knows his God and he cheerfully desires to obey him and he's willing to repent of any sin. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In 2 Peter, an interesting text where Peter tells us to be diligent about applying the faith that he has given to us. He says, brethren, Jesus has given you by his divine power everything you need for obedience and to live godly lives. It is his glory to give you his promises. We stand on the promises of God. It is his glory to give you his promises that cannot be broken and to make you a partaker of the divine nature of God, brethren. God has given us everything we need, including making us a partaker of his divine nature. Peter tells us to be diligent in our faith, trust, and hope. Apply all diligence, he says. Apply all diligence to moral excellence, obedience to the word of God. Be diligent to obey. What happens when we're diligent to obey? He says we have knowledge, and it leads to self-control, which leads to perseverance, which leads to godliness, which leads to brotherly kindness, which leads to love. All these things, he says, if we have these qualities, even in small measure and increasing, he says, they will cause you to be useful and fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Obedience brings knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience, as a result of that knowledge, as a result of that perseverance, as a result of that love, brings trust in our God. If you lack the diligence which produces these qualities, Peter says, you will be blind and short-sighted, and you will forget the gospel, that you are forgiven in Christ, and all your sins and the result, knowledge, true knowledge of our Lord Jesus and all you have in him. If we are short-sighted and not diligent in obedience to the word of God, we will be sluggish. Proverbs says, go to the ant, you sluggard. The Christian life is not one where knowledge comes through osmosis. We don't, because we just read, James tells us, don't be a hearer only, but a doer. Because when we obey the Lord in his word, we come to know him in a more intimate way, and we come to know the grace of God, and we begin to trust him more as we obey him. And Peter says that you will be more fruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and in your trusting of him if you pursue your faith in obedience and diligently. Thirdly, you trust the Lord even when it's dark. Look at verse 10 of Isaiah. Who walks in darkness and has no light. Some of you here tonight are walking in darkness. You trusted the Lord. You are saved. You are a believer in Christ. But you're walking in darkness like Job. You have no light. God is not speaking to you right now for whatever reason. You may be in the dark, disquieted in your soul, having little or no comfort in your faith and your walk with God. You doubt even your salvation. And fear and darkness is your experience right now. It comes to many a believer. It came to Job. You find no joy in your walk with God, for light has been interrupted. God's countenance is eclipsed, says Calvin. And the testimony of the Holy Spirit is suspended. You don't sense the closeness of God and the Spirit of God. And what happens, brethren, as we walk in darkness, darkness produces fear and emotion, and emotions produce more fear. And fear takes over. And fear of God is absent. When we're walking in fear and darkness, we don't see the majesty of God. We're not obedient to God's word because all we're walking in is fear and in darkness and emotions and lack of faith. Job has experienced all of this, yet he has the cure. In this, we look to Job, who shows us the Lord Jesus Christ here in Isaiah 50. Job walked in darkness, but notice the last words of verse 10. You who walk in darkness and have no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Job trusts in the name of the Lord and relies upon his God. He trusts in his name, brethren. His name is his glory. That's why looking at the Lord in his all his glory and majesty, trusting in his name is his glory, and his glory is his goodness. And he is gracious to those who he sets his love upon. Remember when Moses said to God, show me your glory. God said, I'll show you my glory. He said, I, the Lord, will show you all my goodness. And I pass before you, I will proclaim the name of the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and compassionate. To whom I will be compassionate. The name of the Lord is goodness, graciousness, and compassion. We must trust in this God. Job trusted in the name of the Lord, in his goodness, in his mercy, in his wisdom. Yet he was willing to ask the tough questions. The name of the Lord is his strong tower, brethren. Is he your strong tower tonight? And according to Job, in his hand, in the Lord's hand, is every living thing and every breath. Therefore, Job can say, though he slay me, I will trust him and put my hope in him. In his name and in his glory, I will rely upon him. Job, like Isaiah and the Lord Jesus, can rely totally upon their Father. Of course, Job is not perfect like the Lord Jesus Christ. But Job points us to Christ, who had total trust and total reliance upon his Father. And yet, when it was all dark, Jesus came and said, "Why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, the Lord God, speaks to his Father, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Job is asking the Lord, who has not spoke to him, "It is dark. Why have you forsaken me?" Jesus fully trusted his Father, who helps him, who vindicates him, and who exalts him to his rightful place. Job helps us to see tonight our Lord Jesus. As we look at Isaiah chapter 50 and we look at the previous verses, and he says that the Lord God in verse 7 will help me. I can rely upon my God. I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. Do you trust and rely in the name of the Lord? So it is with Job, who knows that God will vindicate him, and trust and hope in God is his salvation. And in verse 13, he says, "My God is my salvation. I trust in his name." Finally, brethren, trusting God involves giving it over, all of it to God. He commands us not to cast some of our cares upon him. He commands us to cast all of our cares upon him. We wonder why we walk in darkness when we're not obedient to God's command to give him all of our cares, to give him all of our burdens. The reason we don't trust God is because we don't give him all of our cares and our burdens, brother. He says that if you take my yoke upon you and learn of me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But when we don't trust him with all of our cares and all of our burdens and all of our fears and all of our anxieties and all of our worries, and we're not diligent to come before him and ask him to help us to give him all of our burdens, all of our sin, all of our worry, and we hold on to these things, we are disobedient to God, and therefore we are short-sighted and we become blind. And so God tells us to trust me. Cast all your cares upon me. Don't fight my yoke. You can imagine you and Jesus in a yoke and the Lord saying to you, "Follow me. Cast, give me everything you have. Give me your whole life and just come with me." And all you do is pull and tug and no, I won't go that way. I won't take it. And your life is filled with anxiety and worry because you're not casting your cares upon him. Brethren, he endured the cross. He despised the shame, the hostility of sinners against him. Like Job with his friends, remember Jesus. Consider, think upon him so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Job lost everything, brethren. He lost his everything he owned. He lost his entire family. And he knows he could possibly right now in reasoning with his God lose his life. But he's willing to put it all on the table and say, "Lord, everything I have is yours." What are you holding back tonight? What areas of your life do you not trust God with? Brethren, apply diligence in dealing with whatever you're holding on to and give them to Jesus, and you will see his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight to come before you with all diligence, and that we would give to you all that we have, our sin, our anxieties, our burdens, our fears. all that we have, even our life, we ask that you would help us to give it to you, to trust you, and to see how much you love and care for us. We ask, Lord, that you would give us your Spirit tonight. Help us, O God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.